In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So I thought maybe since we've been on an icon theme a little bit this Lenten season, we could take a look at this great Palm Sunday festival through the eyes of the festal icon for the day. So I swiped this from the Sunday school area. I tested it yesterday. Hopefully it won't fall. It should be anchored pretty good there. As we take a look at this icon, foremost is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is entering the holy city of Jerusalem, having raised his friend Lazarus from the dead the previous day. Jesus is the obvious central figure in our icon, as he's the core of the feast day. He's the core of life itself. Life comes forth from him. Life returns to him. Now, entering with Jesus are his disciples. Peter is right next to him, and the other disciples are crowded behind and next to him. And this act of Jesus entering the holy city foreshadows the last day, foreshadows the day to come, the day of the kingdom in which the Son of God will raise the dead and escort all who desire into the kingdom of heaven with him. That's what's being foreshadowed today, is our resurrection from the dead and our entrance into the kingdom of heaven. So there are three other parts of this icon, though, that I'd like to spend a bit of time on this morning. And the first is over here on this side, is the crowds who come out to meet Jesus. In the gospel, we heard that there was a great multitude who came out to see and to greet Jesus. So our question is, why? Why? Why did they come out? Why did they come out? And I think my answer to that question can tell me a lot about myself. Can tell me a lot about myself. Why am I here? Why am I here to greet Christ? Now, some came out undoubtedly because they truly believed in and loved Jesus. They knew in their hearts that he was the Savior of the world. But certainly not everyone had that motive. To some, it was probably just idle curiosity. Who's this fella? To others, it was probably mob entertainment. Oh, something big is going on at the gates of the city. Let's go see what's happening. You know, it's not hard to imagine. If there's suddenly a big crowd, everybody goes. Everybody looks. Everyone wants to find out. But the biggest caution, however, is found in those who believed in Jesus, but for wrong or self-absorbed reasons. What do I mean by that? Many people expected the Messiah, when he came, to be a military and a political leader, to throw off the Romans, these occupying people, and to enact new political agendas and policies specifically for the Jewish people, specifically for them. The Messiah was the one that was going to get their country back into order for Jewish purposes against the Romans. And this is what they saw in Jesus. This is what they expected from this miracle worker. Maybe he's the one that's going to finally throw these Romans out. And so this is why they came out to welcome him, and this is who they came out to welcome, a military politician who had come to conquer the pagans. Now, it's kind of true. We all love leaders when they lead where we want them to lead. That's kind of human nature. I love a leader who leads where I want them to lead. Nowadays, I can go to the internet and feed myself with voices confirming what I already think. It's not hard to do today. Well, people were no different back then. People, human nature hasn't changed. People were no different back then. Just the means were different. In first century Jerusalem, I couldn't just go to my browser. I had to go and show up in person. But my motives were still the same. My motives were still the same. I want a leader who will lead in the direction that I desire, and I'll stick with him so long as he doesn't deviate from what I want. You know, that is the human condition. And if we need proof from this icon, a good-sized chunk of this crowd here that's calling Hosanna on Sunday were yelling something quite different on Friday when they realized his kingdom was not military. They were yelling, "Crucify him." He wasn't what I expected. He wasn't what I demand. Count me out. And this leads to the second part of the icon I want to mention, which is this donkey that Jesus is riding on. Anyone who showed up looking for a military general would have noticed that donkey immediately. Heroic generals, what do they ride into a city on? Right? A great stallion in symbolic power with a goal of conquering. And in defiance of this, maybe even with a hint of sarcasm, certainly with a message, Jesus rides into Jerusalem humble, seated on a donkey, just like the prophet Zechariah foresaw. You know, nobody goes to war riding on a donkey. That just doesn't happen. Jesus came bringing peace. And yes, peace not only to his own people, but even to the presumed enemies, even to the very Romans that some of these people wanted gone. And many of these crowds wanted the war horse, they wanted the swords, the willingness to slay them, whoever their them might be. But Jesus says, love them, whoever them might be. Love them fully like you'd love your own child, like I love my own children. There will be no swords, Jesus says, only a cross. And there will be a cross not only for me, but also for my followers. You know, as Father Benjamin Kremer famously said, we keep trying to arm God, and God keeps trying to disarm us. The donkey means that a follower of Jesus will be a seeker of peace and a giver of love to all people. And that was the message not everyone in the crowd was willing to accept. Now, the third part of the icon I'd like you to consider is the children across the bottom of our icon. No Palm Sunday icon is complete without them. Some of them are raising branches to Jesus in celebration. Some of them laying down their cloaks and their jackets in worship. The children are featured so prominently in the hymns of the day. They get special mention in the gospel. They're in the icon, and nearly all the hymns mention the children. But why is that? Why the kids? Well, the answer is purity of heart, purity of intention, purity of love. Their love for Christ is without agenda. Their love for Christ is without condition. None of these kids is saying, what's in it for me? Not a one. Just celebration and love. And then down here, this kid over on this side has to be one of my favorite figures in any icon ever painted. And I think this one is at least the second most important figure in this icon besides Jesus. It's this little nudist here with his little bare bottom showing. He's in the process of whipping off his clothes, right? Historically, we all can see how that would happen, right? People are taking off their jackets and laying them down before Jesus, and some little three-year-old sees it and says, oh, whoosh. Next thing you know, their robe or dress is off, and they're joining in the celebration. You know, all of us have met this three-year-old, haven't we, at some point? The three-year-old that can't seem to keep his or her clothes on. Maybe a few of us were that kid at some point in our lives. But why is it on the icon? Why is it on the icon? It's more than just that probably happened because there are little kids there. What truth is this little nudist revealing besides their little kid butt? This child loves Jesus without shame, without fear, without limit. And I mean symbolically, even the clothes off of his back. This child loves without worrying about what anyone else thinks. You know the grown-ups over here, they're thinking, well, should I lay my cloak down? Should I go up and cut a branch from the tree? What's everyone else doing? What am I supposed to do? That's what we grown-ups, we think like that. We get to a certain age and we lose this innocence. Not that kid. Not that kid. This kid is saying, I love Jesus and I don't care who knows it. Who knows it? There is no way on earth that kid is thinking, am I doing it right? That is not crossing this kid's mind. When it comes to loving, the rest of us would be wise to rid ourselves of that question, am I loving correctly? Now, the reason this particular little girl or boy is in the icon is to remind us of love at its purest. You know, before agendas creep into our lives, before thoughts of, I hope this Jesus despises all the same sorts of people I despise, before thoughts of, I wonder what he can do for me, even before thoughts of, am I doing it right? You know, a person can learn a lot from a little bare butt. This one says, I love you, Jesus, for who you are. And I want to be with you in the holy city. And I don't care who knows it. And I want your love alive in me. Amen.
Amen.